All right, Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We ask you to speak to our hearts, even as you, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, is our teacher. Lord, we ask you to lead us and guide us into all truth, and that Christ will be magnified in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' precious name, Lord, we set apart these moments to learn of thee. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, I want to talk about persecution. Persecution, that's a topic, a biblical topic of great import. In fact, as we are talking right now, listening, talking, fellowshipping in the Word of God, there's never been a time in history where persecution is such a relevant thing as there is now. As we see the end nearing, even Satan sees it, and the scripture says in Revelation 12:12 that knowing that he hath but a short time, he's come down with great wrath. And the preceding verse says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's some key, very, very key truths right there in that verse, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. To be a child of God can only occur upon repentance and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24-26. Upon repenting, being brought to repentance, and putting our trust, our full trust in Jesus Christ, we're justified by God. We're made new creatures in Christ Jesus and washed by the blood of the Lamb. In fact, Colossians 1:14 says, speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, the new versions remove through his blood in Colossians 1:14. That should be enough to get rid of that corruption and get a real English Bible, the King James Bible. Now, the preserved, pure Word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome, only the overcomers are going to be with Jesus. According to Revelation 2:3, Jesus said only those that overcome are going to be able to eat of the hidden manna and be with him in the new Jerusalem. Praise God. He said that to each one of all the seven churches. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. The Bible says, blessed are those who are not ashamed of the Lord. If you're ashamed of him, he said that he would be ashamed of you. So the word of their testimony is very important. If you believe that you're a Christian and you don't have a testimony that's going out to other people, Christians and non-Christians, about the sin and soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, then I would really want to encourage you, based on the whole of Scripture, to really check your relationship with the Lord. So they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now that's the only way that we're going to be able to overcome Satan, who has come down with great wrath in this last hour, knowing that he hath but a short time. The keys are right there, Revelation 12:11-12. Okay, the only way that you and I can overcome this enemy, who's much greater in power than you and I, but he is far inferior in power from the one who actually created him as Lucifer, who when he rebelled was ousted, ejected violently from heaven, Ezekiel 28, and for trying the foolish endeavor of lifting himself above the Most High, you get it? Isaiah 14:12-15, he became Satan. But the only way to overcome him who walketh about, Satan, the devil, seeking whom he may devour, is how? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. How many people are glad to be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise God.
Amen.
We're only redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. 1 Peter 1:16-18, right in there. We're overcomers through the blood. And by the word of our testimony, God wants us to hold out a testimony to those around us. Amen? And they love not their lives unto the death. That's the way we're going to come to overcome the evil one. And one of the things that we're going to overcome that he's going to bring on us, because, you know, think about it, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6, 12. Now, but the evil one is going to bring persecution through men, okay? And that's what we're going to pick up right here in Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading, or we are, in verse 17. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 says,
but beware of men.
Beware of men. Notice that. Beware of men. Okay? For they
will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues.
So not only in the civil courts, the councils, in the legal courts, but also in the synagogues. Didn't we read in John 16, like 1 and 2, that in the last days there would be those who would kill Christians and think that they did God service. That could only be those who did not love the truth, and therefore God turned them over to a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie, and that's a religious lie in most cases. Okay? And so they're so resolute and have so much faith that they have the truth, even though it's a lie, see, because God has turned them over, they've subverted their spirit so that they would believe a lie, because they did not have and possess the love of the truth. They were not valiant for the truth, Jeremiah 9:3, and also we're quoting from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. These people come, they're antichrist, after the working of Satan, okay? And they even have lying signs and wonders. And because they did not love the truth, that they might be saved, God turns them over to a strong delusion. God gets aggressive with people who display unbelief in his word. Okay? And these are antichrist. And so he turns them over to be deceived. And John 16, 1 and 2, we read that these are the type of people that are going to kill and already are killing Christians. And sometimes they kill them with persecution. It's a form of murder, if you will, in the heart, even if it's not actual, literal, physical death and martyrdom in that way. It's still murderous, and they seek to kill Christians, whether they slander them, falsely accuse them, persecute them. In some way, they are being used by their father, the devil, who has come to do what? Three things: steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 16, verse 1 and 2. These things, Jesus says, have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. That's a big statement there. That's a lot of meditation, I believe, to be done. I know I could really use to meditate on that personally. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. Let me ask you something, friend. Are you easily offended? Well, in proportion, there's a proportional, something proportional that we can draw here. The more easily offended I am, the more alive I am to myself, the less dead I am and crucified with Christ. You see, if you kick a dead dog, he's not going to bite you. He's dead. But if you kick a live dog, he's going to bite you. Okay? One of the characteristics of the love of God, it comes to mind, and that is that it is not easily offended. Okay? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked to anger, that is. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 13, as you know. So John 16, 1, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. There it is. That's the religious persecution. I call it religious murder. The first murder was a religious murder. Cain murdered his brother Abel because Cain did his religion in his own way instead of God's way. Abel did things God's way. He humbly, joyfully, meekly, obediently submitted to the Lord's method of sacrifice, the shedding of the blood of an animal. God always requires blood. You know, in the Old Testament, before Christ actually came and shed his blood, the blood of animals had to be shed. God obviously taught Adam, Eve, and their sons, Cain and Abel, the importance of the right sacrifice. The only one he accepted was a blood sacrifice. We read in Hebrews 9:22 that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We have a study guide on the website called The Blood of Jesus. I really want to encourage you to print that out and go through it. Just bring it, print it out, and go put it by your Bible and go through the Bible, the scriptures in that study guide. I believe that you're life will be forever changed. It's called the Blood of Jesus. It's on the study guides page at safeguardyoursoul.com. Safeguardyoursoul.com. Click on study guides. There's seven of them there. Those can be used individually or with a group. You feel free to copy them as much as you want. They're there for your edification and learning through the Word of God. I believe your life will definitely be changed forever. So verse 2, John 16, by the way, you're going to go into Leviticus 16 and 17 about the blood sacrifice of animals. It's just magnificent. Now, what I was talking about earlier before I get off my point and miss it, or not finish my point there, is in Genesis 4, Cain and Abel, that was the first murder recorded in history and that happened in history. And it was over religious jealousy. And we got a lot of that going on today. Those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof or the lordship of Christ. They deny the one who all power has been given to, the nail-scarred risen Savior, and they love their religion. I mean, I came out of the Catholic Church. And make no mistake, if somebody gets saved, they're coming out of Babylon. They're coming out of the Catholic Church. The idea that they're saved Catholics is an absolute absurdity. You cannot be a true Catholic and a true Christian. The doctrines are diametrically opposed. Okay? Anybody who reads their Bible on every page sees and knows what the Catholic Church teaches sees that the Catholic Church is completely antichrist, utterly, utterly an abomination to the Lord. You know, it's getting ready to be, you know, every year around holiday time, you know, there's a lot of tension and a lot of believers that are trying to be loving and enjoy their family and stuff. And sometimes that can be very treacherous. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because you know you love them with a familial type love, but if you're saved and they're not, you know, oil and water don't mix. And no matter how much you try, the enemy is working in the children of disobedience, Ephesians 2:2. And he always tries to use family members, or many times, I think we can, most of us testify to that. And so perhaps some of us need to drive a stake in the ground and tell our family members, perhaps this fits for you, perhaps it doesn't. I find for me that after, you know, just kind of being real quiet around my family, because they rejected the gospel years ago when it was shared with them by myself and many others, you know, perhaps there comes a time that, you know, we need to state that we're, you know, why continue on in the lie? Why live a lie? Why act like we are close when we really aren't heart to heart? That's impossible. You know, what communion hath Christ with Belial is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you know, some of us may need to say, You do not love me, you do not like me, due to my loving Jesus, who says you must be born again. There's no other way. Religion can't save you. If you're trusting in religion, you're a sure thing for hell, because religion cannot save you. Religion didn't die for you. Religion doesn't have nail-scarred hands. Religion wasn't buried and 3 days raised again. Religion isn't coming back. That's all the work of the one and only Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Perhaps we need to say, I will never. We need to tell him boldly in love, but affirm and resolutely share with them that we're never going to leave the living God, the nail-scarred and only Savior, to go back to any dead religion. Now, this may apply to some. I guarantee you it will. It applies to me and may apply to many. And we need to tell them unapologetically, with no apology, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see? And maybe state outrightly that there will never be peace until the family, truly, individuals in the family repent and are born again and begin serving the Prince of Peace. There's no peace outside of the Prince of Peace. In fact, the Bible says in Isaiah 57:21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You see, loving a religion and bragging about it instead of boasting in Jesus Christ clearly proves that a person does not know the Lord. You know, one of my relatives recently went off in this typical rant, it's a demonic rant, about how the Catholic Church is the church Jesus established and all these foolish myths. And, you know, they even went as far as to say that that the Catholic Church predates Jesus Christ, as if the Catholic Church itself is greater than the Creator and Redeemer, the Most High God Himself, who was and who is to come, the Almighty, Revelation 1:8, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is comical, if it wasn't so sad. The only way, and the only sense that the Catholic Church predates Jesus Christ is that the Catholic Church has adopted much of the pagan Babylonian worship that was here on earth before Jesus came and was born in the flesh through a virgin. That's the only sense in which the Catholic Church predates Jesus Christ, okay? When a person is truly born again. You see, here's the thing. A lot of the conflict is coming in families, as Jesus promised it would. We're getting ready to read in Matthew 10, with religious folks, okay? They're religious. They're not saved. Just like the same religious conflict between Cain and Abel, Genesis 4. One of them offered an animal blood sacrifice. The other one offered a sacrifice of the ground that had been cursed. It wasn't a blood sacrifice. And he wound up killing his brother. It was religious murder, religious jealousy. This is why the Jews murdered Jesus, the Bible says, out of jealousy, out of envy. Okay? When a person is truly born again, and that's the only way, there's no such thing as a Christian outside of those that are born again. The only kind of Christian there is a born-again Christian. There is no salvation without regeneration. Amen. Jesus said, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you got a problem with the term born again, you got a problem with the Son of God, and you're in trouble. The best thing to do is repent. Lay down your life and surrender. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and destroy you and terminate you into the bowels of eternal damnation. Psalm 2:11-12. When a person is truly born again, his whole life is all about Jesus Christ. Period. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. Amen? You're not born again if you're not talking about Jesus. You're not right with God. If you love the Lord, you want to talk about Him. You love Him. You're drawing nigh to Him. You got a heart after Him. Amen? If you don't, you hadn't been born again, or you've backslidden. you need to repent before it's too late. So when a truly born again person, with a truly good, his whole life is all about Jesus, not religion. You have people that brag about their stupid religion. Yeah, you heard me. Any and all religion is stupid. And I say that with no apology. Because when you contrast this magnificent Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to anything, everything pales. Why would you give up the living God for a false religion? That's what I wonder. You know, when I got saved, one of my relatives called me, one of my parents, and said, are you going to Mass? Still going to Mass? Real, you know, mean. I said, no. I said, why would I give up the living God for a dead religion? That's still my question now. Now, that ought to be all. Why would you give up the living God for any form of any dead religion? You see, if you're born again, everything's about Jesus Christ, not a religion of mere sinful men. In the case of Catholicism, that has deceived gullible souls with propaganda, lies, myths, gimmicks, and lying signs and wonders for decades, for almost 2,000 years, since about 325 when it started. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. If you're touting your religion and not Jesus, it's because you're ashamed of Jesus and of his words. Not long ago, as I mentioned earlier, a relative was going to begin with a demonic rant about, touting the greatness of the Catholic Church. Well, I just interjected that to this individual that they needed to get saved. They need to be born again. The Catholic Church can't save them. You know, lo and behold, they hung up on me. That ought to be a lesson for all of us. You want to back somebody off that's touting Satanism or religion, you just give them a few scriptures. Speak it in love and watch the devil run. When you turn the word loose on somebody that's taken over by the devil, they're going to run.
Matthew 15:13, Jesus is talking about plants that the Father, Heavenly Father, has planted. That's those people that are born again of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, every plant which my Heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. Mm. They shall be blind leaders of the blind. Mm. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If they're blind, they have believed the religious lie and been led under blind leaders to believe a lie.
Yes. It's a willing deception, too. You know, if you don't love the truth, this is the scripture passage I want you to really write down. Put it on an index card, go in your Bible, highlight it, memorize it, read it at least 5 times today. It's 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. When people don't love the truth, God turns them over to a strong delusion, as we spoke about earlier, so that they should believe a lie. Okay, God turns them over to a lie, so that they believe that lie. Now, we're reading in Matthew chapter 10, and Anson was reading verse 17, which says, but beware of men, for they shall deliver you up to the councils. That deals with legal matters. We've suffered that personally, a lot of that lately myself, over the last several years, actually. Persecution through the courts. A lot of Christians are going through that now and have been through it. And then it says, and Jesus says, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So you Christians are going to be persecuted in the legal and in the religious arenas. You notice that? In the councils, you're going to be delivered up to the councils, the secular legal magistrates, and you're going to be scourged, whether with the tongue or the whip or whatever, persecuted in the synagogues. That's the religious realm. So the good thing.
Notice the synagogue is a religious building, and though the the true church or body of Christ is not a building. It's the body of believers. So those that are scourging you in the synagogue or religious temple or building are not believers who are persecuting you.
That's right. They're lost religious people, just like Cain was when he persecuted his brother Abel.
Verse 18, "And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak."
You notice that it's going to be a testimony against them. God's got it all on record, and he's going to bring it back at the judgment. I believe that's what, in part, what he's talking about there. It's going to be a testimony against him. So if you're listening to me and you have the opportunity to deal with a child of God, you're going to want to really be careful to do justice there, because there's going to be a bringing into accountability and a judgment for that thing.
2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul's talking about suffering and also consolation or comfort in the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 9 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, "But we had the sense of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world." That's the testimony that they're giving in Matthew 10 against those that have delivered them up. The conversation in the world to testify and give the testimony against them. And it says, "More abundantly to you, Lord, for we write none of the things unto you than what we read or acknowledge. And I trust you shall acknowledge even unto the end. As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus."
Amen. And that's what, 2 Corinthians chapter?
Chapter 1.
Okay. Praise God. All right, we're going to continue on the next segment. Persecution according to the Holy Scriptures.